Amen. Welcome to Only Believe here at Canton, Ohio. We're excited. Pastor Phil's not here today. You all know he's in North Carolina, and he is getting ready. They at 10 o'clock, so they've already started their building dedication and their service, and so that's exciting. Keep them in prayer. They've got, they're doing some, oh, I can't think of words today. I'm telling you, just bear with me. Where you pray over people and you...
Miracle service?
No. Well, yes, but no.
Ribbon cutting?
Minister, they're getting... Come on, help me! Bear with me, Facebook land. I can't think. They're minister and they're getting... Yes, for what's the word?
Infilling of the Holy Spirit?
No. To be a minister. Phil and I had to get Pastor did it to us.
Oh, ordained?
Ordained! Whoo, thank you. See, y'all need to join this family of faith. It is nothing but a big bunch of family that helps each other around here because we need it. Amen? I need it. So, no, they're doing that tonight, and then they're doing miracle services tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So keep them in prayer. Then we believe that everybody that needs a miracle gets a miracle. Amen? Everybody that needs salvation get salvation, and that people that are around and hear that this thing is going on, that they come and they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we're with you today. I know the name of the church, Pastor Sandy. I'm sorry, it's just going to escape me. Vision, New Vision, in North Carolina, Murfreesboro, North Carolina. I'm sorry, it's been a long week, and then they make me preach a message twice, not just once in a day, twice in a day. So no, don't feel sorry for me. I want to welcome everybody out there. I'm excited you guys are here. We're going to start worshiping. We got some exciting announcements to make, exciting stuff going on. Phil doesn't get to make this. I get to make this to y'all live. This is exciting. We get to move into our building next Sunday. Woo! You know, this is, we bought the land in, I believe 2013. And here we are, 2020, moving into this building. So this has been a long journey that we have been on. Amen? And God is faithful. God is faithful. What does it say in the Word? That if the vision doesn't come right away, to just wait. Just tarry, because it'll come. It'll come in its time. So just wait. If things don't happen when you think they should, just stand and just wait. Because it's going to come to pass. And God gave us a vision of that building, and here we are. Like, some of y'all been with us since the start, or really pretty close to the start, and so this is just a victory for all of us. Amen. We're excited about this, so we'll talk more about that in a little bit. We still will have Thursday night service here. Those are announcements. Why don't we worship the Lord first? Amen. And then we'll get into all that stuff. So let's worship the Lord this morning.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
Oh God, let me Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. way. You will always be more than enough for me.
Come on, yeah.
You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Doesn't matter what.
You are here. You're made.
feeling you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop.
Come on and declare that this morning.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Surgery. I went to physical therapy and everything. And after God had kept us for 16 and a half years in a house that had caught small fires, 15 of them throughout the years that we didn't know about that was in the walls. We just had our house totally rewired from top to bottom. He looked he kept saying all week long, I was battling on whether to have this other MRI, because they was going to decide whether I had surgery or not. And every song I was hearing, every scripture that was coming to me was, where's your faith? It was about faith. You asked me to heal it. Where's your faith? I can lift that arm now. I can move it. I can do everything. I decided to cancel the MRI, and I said, Lord, it's yours. This is your arm. This is not just mine. It is yours. And I want it to work so I can do your work and everything. And I just want to praise God for that. So he is a miracle worker. Amen. It's our faith that makes us stronger. If we start relying on him more, we're going to need a lot less from the world.
Woo, come on. Amen. The faithfulness of God is the theme today. It's just the faithfulness of God and who he's been and what he's done, and the promises that he's giving has been yes and amen, even when we doubted the promises would come true. Amen? When we've stood looking at the vision from afar off, we've had this vision. And, you know, yes, right now I'm talking about the building, but I'm not just talking about the building. I'm talking about the promises of God. The faithfulness of God. Amen? If he's given you something, if he's told you something, if he's promised you something, you hold on to that with everything in you. He said, though it may be afar off, don't give up. It will come to pass. Amen? Amen.
Caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. To sit here at your feet, I'm caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't know on you. When I'm sorry, when I've just gone through the motions, I'm sorry. When I just sang another song, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than you can do. I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want
to talk to you, Savior.
Nothing else,
Sally.
Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you.
that last line.
I just want you. Tell him. I just want you. I just want you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we're in this atmosphere, I am going to go ahead and do offering. I like to make offering and tithes part of my worship, part of my praise to him. Amen? Because there ain't no way I would be where I'm at today without his goodness, without his mercies. I live in a nice house. I give God all the glory for today. Listen, Phil and I didn't do nothing to deserve that house. Nothing. I live in a nice house because of the goodness of God. And because he's faithful. You say, I look at you, Regina, and you just, listen, I went without water for a year in a house. In summer, in spring, in winter, and in fall. Without running water in a house. I know what it's like to struggle and to fight. Let me tell you what, I did not miss my tithe during that time. I was faithful. Why? Because God's been so faithful to me. I'd go buy water at the grocery store and I used it. And I'm telling you, it was freezing in the wintertime. I didn't heat it up. Who had time? It would be freezing going over my head. I didn't start. Now, yeah, I'm sure I cried because it was so cold. I'm not going to lie. But I'm saying I didn't sit there and say, why? Lord, I thank you. I thank you there's another way. You've made another way for this to be done. You know? In Malachi, it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse so there may be meat for my people. He also says in there, to prove me. See if I won't do it. See if I won't rebuke the devourer on your behalf. See if I won't pour out, open up the windows, and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. And when we look at these things, we think about money because we're giving money, right? But that's not what always talking about. Listen, you can have more money than anybody on this earth and be miserable and kill yourself, and we've seen it time and time again out there. Money is not your answer. Money is a root of evil. The love of money is a root of evil that will make you think that you've got it all and you've got it all figured out. If you look at people that have a lot of money and you think they've got it all figured out, you are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. If they know Jesus and follow Jesus, you got it figured out. That's the key. Amen? I remember I was telling the first one I was driving here because I'm preaching the message, obviously, because Pastor Phil's not. And so I don't know why. Listen, all you that preach in here, I don't know why I didn't give it away. I should have given it away. We've been dealing with the building all week. I should have given it away, but I didn't. So this morning I'm thinking, oh, Lord, offering again. And I can't get past the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to tell you a story about Marionville. Many of you have heard it. This ain't new to some of you. But when Phil and I were married, when we first got saved and we got married and all that, even before we were married, we had no money. He had a decent job. Well, there was a time he didn't have a job. Then he had an okay job that paid not even minimum wage. Oh, he had just a little over minimum wage, which wasn't enough for a family of three paying rent and all that stuff. And then we were just faithful. We didn't have enough money to get to our next paycheck. We ran out of money days before our next paycheck. Roman noodles was what we ate. Got a big old pack of those, and you ate what you could up front. Like, we would go to the cheapest place in town and buy chicken. I probably wouldn't eat that chicken today. I'm just saying. I'm a little... Lord, if I had to, I would. You know I would. But I'm saying I've come past some things that we used to have to eat. I don't have to eat them anymore. I'll eat chicken, but it's going to be good quality chicken. This was just the cheapest chicken we could find because you've got to fit within your budget. Amen? And so we'd go and we'd get food and we'd stock up on some Roman noodles because they were like, I don't even remember how much they cost, but it was minimal. Like, it didn't cost a lot. They still don't cost a lot, I think. And so that's when we ran out of food. That would be mine and Phil's, and we would save the good food for Philip because he was just young. He was just a baby. But I remember when I started going to church and the guy talked about tithing, the pastor talked about tithing. And I sat there for a minute and I'm listening. And I'm maybe not normal. I don't believe something because you tell me it. I believe something because I go to this word and I prove it out. So if you tell me something, I'm just not going to believe it's in the word until I go see it for myself. I'm just one of those. People lied to me all my life. I'm going to go find out. You know, you say, oh, people didn't lie to you. Uh-huh. Oh, there's kids up here. Kids, you can go. You're dismissed. I don't want to break the news if there's kids up here. I'm going to break the news when they're gone. That would have been cool. Y'all would have been throwing stuff at me. Turn your live stream off if you got kids in the room right now. There's no Santa Claus, you big old liars. There's no Easter Bunny, you big old liars. Right? Telling us kids that some big old fat man's going to come down the chimney and leave me presents. And you just ask him what you want for Christmas. Just tell him. He never brought what I asked him. Y'all, we got your number. Listen. So, of course, I'm just playing, but I didn't want to do that in front of the kids because I'm not busting up their Christmas. Y'all have to do that someday, but I won't do it for your kids because I think that's wrong. Philip never believed that, and we told him, you go to school and you tell one person you're going to come home and face punishment. Don't you go ruin their Christmas for them. You just keep that to yourself, and he never would. He was faithful to that. So, but I'm just saying I would read the word, and so I'd say, okay, God, I don't have enough money to get to the end of my paycheck. I'm just going to be real with you. I don't got enough money to get to the end of my paycheck, but you want me to give you 10% of what I got. Okay. I'm going to do it. Because I've never had somebody die for me. I've never had somebody give me peace like he gave me peace when I got saved. I've never felt so much love in my life than the day I got saved. And I asked him into my heart. So I wanted to please him. Because when somebody does something, so when much is forgiven, you have more thankfulness in you and you love much more. And I was just thankful. So I said, okay, I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm just going to do it because your word says it. And I want to be obedient to you because how could I not be? It's basically the way I thought back then. And I still think that way. But so we started giving. And I'm going to tell you that we didn't change anything. So we weren't really going out buying a bunch of alcohol anyway. Like, we didn't go do extra stuff because we had no money to do extra stuff. Like, people go to McDonald's and pick up something. No, McDonald's wasn't on our list back then. That just wasn't available to us because there was no money to do that. And so we didn't really change anything because we weren't doing anything to begin with because we didn't have the money to do anything to begin with. And so we just started giving. Now, at first, can I say that we had money left? No. No, but I noticed that we didn't run out of the food, that the ramen noodles, they lasted. You know what I mean? Like, they were there. I didn't go hungry. Philip didn't go hungry. Philip had all the love he wanted. He don't even want to come around us now because he don't even want to hear it. He's like, I don't care. Just leave me alone. Thank you for my tea, babe. But anyway, I got a good son. I got lots of good sons in here that I love and I'm appreciative for. Amen. We got good young men in here. But anyway, let me get back on track. It's going to happen all day. This is Remembrance Day for me, I guess, because this is like a celebratory day. And also, like, it's a check. It's like a 20. What do you call that? Huh? Yeah, like it's a good day, but then you're bittersweet about it because this means, like, we've been waiting to get out of this building for how long? And now I'm like, oh my gosh, this is our last Sunday here. Like, this is a reality. Like, it's, for all my wanting to run out of here, now I'm like, it's here. Like, not that I'm not appreciative and ready to go over there, I am, but there's just a thankfulness that's filling my heart over the faithfulness of God through the years. But anyway, I'm getting back on track. I know, I'm sorry. Stay with me. So at first it didn't change, but I had food, which I was shocked because I had less money. And so we still had food and we were still eating, although we ran out of money days before we got our paycheck again. But then something started to happen. About a month or two into this, nothing changing, no bill taken away, nobody coming up and giving us money, because you know God will work that way. And I'm grateful when God uses us to do that, and he's used people to do that in our lives at times. I'm grateful for those moments, but that wasn't what this was. Nobody came up and gave us any money. But all of a sudden, we had like a dollar left when payday came. Why, wait a minute. What? And the food seemed to stretch further. Like I wasn't eating ramen noodles for so many days before. And all of a sudden, gradually, I just saw the faithfulness of God come in a way that only God could do it. Nobody could take any credit for this. Nobody did anything. I couldn't take credit for this. Phil couldn't take credit for this. Listen, we aren't the best budgeters, but we budgeted as best we could back then. And we didn't really change that. We just got what we knew we had to get with this much money and this much money and this. And all of a sudden, you think that was just a dollar. To me, that was $1 million. Because what that told me is God is faithful to his word. And it changed me completely to understand that no matter what comes up. Now, have I had battles since then? Have we had issues since then? Of course. We live in a world where many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you out of them all. And I stand up here victorious because of the goodness of God. Amen? So today, as you get your tithe out, as you get your offering, and you think about situations that you've got going on, bills that are coming up, I want you to say, God, I'm testing you then. I'm proving you. And I'm waiting for the goodness of God because I know your promises are yes and amen. And that you're going to do what you said you would do. Amen? Amen. Shane, why don't you pray?
Father God, I just pray over this offering today, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that whatever is in our hearts tonight, today, God, that you would just use what we give, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would just pour out a blessing on each and every person in here, God, Lord, whether it would be bills, Father, or whether it would be just giving you something, Lord, that they've struggled with in their walk, God, Lord, whatever it may be, God. I just ask, God, that you would just touch it, Lord. And I just thank you for that, God. And I just give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Forgive me if I'd offended you. I meant you lied when you talked about Santa Claus. Doesn't, you know, you figure out the rest from there. But I'm just saying, I didn't mean to offend. That was just me being silly. So this coming Sunday at 10 a.m. at 13513 State Route 292 is where we will be having service. Amen? Amen. Next Sunday. And then we will do it again at 6:30 at night for our building dedication. And Pastor Peter Dosik, he's our pastor. He's pastored Linda and Jared since they were youngins as well. He's the apostle of this church. He's our apostle. He's our pastor. And he's going to be with us here to do that at 6:30. So that's exciting. We're going to get that kind of fast but exciting. Amen. So we're looking forward to all of that. What we do need is greeters. Okay, we have somebody that's over them, but here at this building, because of the size of this building and because of the space by the doorways, we used to have greeters at the doors. It just, and some of you already know, people would congregate at the door and you'd be shaking 20 people's hands just in that little vestibule. And it was just too much. We had to get people going through. And so we are by nature in this church greeters anyway. We all say hi to each other. We're all always walking around saying hello to each other. That shouldn't change with the building. Amen. We are the same. The building's different. Amen? And so I want to make sure that we're just going around and we're just telling everybody hello, loving on people that you know and new people that are coming in and letting them feel welcome. But we are going to do greeters at the doors, okay? So if you would like to be part of that, come up and tell me your name afterwards. Let me know. And Marie and Jamie Miller are over that, and they're going to have a meeting Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the new church. And just go over some stuff with y'all, okay? And place you guys in doors and all that good stuff, okay? So I've been just so focused on what needs to be done for the actual building itself that some of these thoughts never hit my head until yesterday. And then it's just swimming like, we got to get some stuff organized here in the new building because it's different than here. You know, it's a different dynamic. So that's what we need. And then if you would like to help at all on Friday, Saturday of next week, we're just going to be in that building until we get everything done and we're ready to go. Amen? This coming Friday and Saturday. What? Oh, sorry. My brain. I'm telling you, I can't think of the word ordination. I can't. I was like, couldn't even think of Friday and Saturday in the first service. So, y'all, the one thing that I'm excited about, well, that we are all excited about too is one service, that we get to have one service. There are people that come to this church that you may know them, and you may not even know they come to this church because they come to the first service and you come to the second service, or sometimes vice versa. So we've heard conversations happening among people in the past that they start talking and they haven't seen each other for a while and they've been friends, they know each other. And they'll say, well, where do you go to church? Yeah, I go to Only Believe. I do. I don't go to see you there. Yeah, because they come to two separate. That's been a conversation that we've heard that's been actually happened. So the fact that we all get to come together as one body and be in the same service is awesome. So we're excited for that. Anything else I'm missing? No meal. That's the truth. Okay, this isn't my fault. Don't get mad at me, okay? Don't get upset with me. It's COVID's fault because they're not supposed to do it. We're not supposed to do that right now. And when your pastor, you know how excited he gets and how he loves to fellowship and eat with y'all. Like, that's what we've done since day one in this building. We come together. Like, it's almost a hard thing for us right now that we haven't been able to do it for so long. We haven't ate together for so long. So he was excited to do that because we've always talked about it and he was gung-ho, but then he remembered COVID restrictions. And so we're going to cancel the meal in between, but we, as soon as we're able, we are going to have that meal. Amen. Probably that won't be the only meal we have. Be prepared every Sunday, him wanting to eat with you all. Like, because there's space to have you all, and nobody has to walk up down steps to get there, up steps. You know what I mean? And so it's all going to be there. So we are excited about that. So that is truth. No meal, but we'll make it up. Amen. Anything else? Any questions you guys have that we haven't addressed? I want to make sure we cover it all before we move on. Oh, yes, youth. We're going to have youth. It's not going to be Sunday, but it will be Thursday night. This Thursday night, we're here. Okay? I don't want you going out to the new building. You're going to be disappointed. We are going to be here this Thursday night. So, why did we do that? If we got the equipment in and it's ready, why did we do this? We didn't think, but we're going to be here. We could have been in the new building if the equipment's all ready, right? Oh, my goodness. Well, no, that would have been nights of unsleep this week. So that's okay. So we're going to be here. There's not going to be any equipment up here. The worship team is going to stay and take everything over to the new building today because we have a professional guy coming in to EQ it and to work on it for us and to do some stuff for us. So all this is going to be gone, but we will have an acoustic worship that night on Thursday night. So come out. Come out. Don't stay home. This is going to be a day of praise and a day of remembrance and thanking the Lord. Because, listen, this building has seen many salvations, has seen many healings, has seen many people set free and delivered from a lot of addiction, has just seen people get saved and come into the kingdom of God in the 9.5 years that we've been here. So there is a lot that we're thankful for this building, and we're thankful that God blessed us to be here for this. And so maybe people, I think Phil even said something about having people, if you've got a memory from here, if you've got something that God has reminded you of, don't even have to be your own. One of my favorites is what he said last Sunday is one of my favorite memories. I have several, literally I can pull from, But the one where the person who got filled with the Holy Ghost and started praying in tongues, and Phil said was there for half an hour. No, that's not truth. That person was there for a lot longer than a half an hour, and they were just praying in tongues and praying in tongues, and they had not been able to read a book because they had dyslexia. And so the Holy Ghost sat there while they was praying in tongues, healed that person. That person went and read this big book and started being able to read the Bible and understand what they were reading. I mean, just amazing, a miracle. That's not something we did. That's all Jesus. Amen? Amen. He has done so many good things in this building, and he's going to continue to do it over there. But we just want to be thankful for what he's done here. Amen? So we're going to do that Thursday night. So come on out, and then Sunday morning. Do you want the address again? Because I got it. 13513 State Route 292. Ah, right in front of the Ball Diamonds. And if you don't know how to get there, if you go back on our Facebook page, a couple videos back, we did a video, Phil and I did. We were just like being silly. And I said, hey, we should do a video how to get to the new building from here. And it's there. We drive you right out to the new building. You see the path that it takes. And somebody said, I didn't know how to get here till that video. So it works. So go out and look at the video. It's just right on 292. I think that's it, unless somebody has a question of something I haven't covered. Okay, we're going to get into the Word. Service starts at 10 o'clock. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you want to help greet, be a greeter, then please be here at 9 o'clock. And ushers, we're probably going to get a hold of you this week and have a meeting with you that morning. Pastor Phil will have a meeting with you that morning so that we've got that stuff covered too. Just those things that the things happening inside the building once we're open that we're not thinking about. We've just been thinking about getting the building ready, get the building ready, get the building ready. So there's some other things we got to cover. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord God, I just pray over this message. I pray that you decrease me, that you increase in me, that you speak every word you want spoken and any word that you don't want spoken. Lord, you would shut my mouth and not let me speak it. Lord, I'm here to bring a word to your people that will bring a change in the way we look or see things, Father God, that we turn an eyesight from natural things to kingdom things, that we understand purpose, that why we're here, what responsibility, why, what is our accountability in this thing, Lord, what are we here to do? Father, I thank you that you open up hearts right now, that Father, anybody that would hear this word would hear it with the ears of learning and change, and Lord, if it doesn't apply, then it doesn't apply. I just bind spirit of offense from coming in, and I thank you, Lord, that you are going to teach us today. Amen. Amen. Well, I first want to start out at Matthew 18, 12. I'm going to give you a minute to get there while I take a drink. Dust will mess up your throat and your sinuses. Amen. Amen. And says the people that's been out in the dust. We are so thankful for all that have come out to help. I'm just, we couldn't get even half of it done without y'all. We were so grateful. Thank you. Okay, so now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. Yes, John, you can get in the boat with Jesus too. Okay, he's happy with that. If you're watching, John is a baby, and he started to help me preach. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, listen, what'd the word say? Suffer not the babies to come to me. Amen? Them babies, you don't know what they're saying. They could be telling you, repent, repent. Jesus, come back soon, repent. You don't know what that child is saying. That's just, amen? Amen. I'm mismessing. I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. So the scribe is saying to Jesus, as they're going to the other side, that I want to come. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So when we get saved, and we want to follow after Jesus, he's saying, count the cost. Count the cost. Salvation is free. Wasn't free to be paid for it, but to you it was free, right? Jesus paid a great price for salvation. And when we want to follow after Jesus, he's telling us here that you can come with me, but understand this isn't about my comfort. It's not that Jesus couldn't afford to stay in places like that. Remember when they had the multitude out and they had been there for 3 days and he was going to feed them. They say, what should we do to feed these people? Should we go buy? Like, where would we buy it from? They're out in the middle of nowhere, basically. They weren't saying we don't have the money to buy. They're saying, where would we buy? So to feed, was it 5,000 people at that point? And that was just the men, was it not? I think I'm remembering that it was just the men. 5,000. That's going to cost a pretty penny if they had to go buy. Amen? And he's saying, should we go buy? So they had money. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about being able to take care of them. He's saying, this calling that I have is not an easy one. The path that I lead, it's not about me and it's not about my comfort. The birds of the air have a place to stay, but I'm just walking this earth following the path that the Lord has given me, and my head's going to lay down where it's going to lay down, and it's not always going to be comfortable to me. Your walk is not always going to be comfortable for you, and if it is, then you're not walking after Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I try to think of some things like, you know, we have it comfortable here in the USA. I don't care if you do live in a house that, it, you know, is not the best house. It's still more comfortable than the houses I've seen in Africa. Amen. It's still more comfortable than the houses I've seen in Jamaica. You say, well, Jamaica, that's a great spot for you tourists and for people that are rich. Sure, that's a great spot. But you go where we went. And they have shacks, not houses, shacks that they live in, one room. And there could be 15 people in that one room shack. They don't have indoor plumbing. Their stuff, there's like this stuff going down in the middle of their houses in the shacks, because they're not houses. I'm just being real with you. And there was a trench and there was stuff in it. It didn't smell the best, but you're not going to say that because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Amen? So we're walking through there, and the guy that's walking with us says, this is the sewer stuff from the houses. Like they set up, and then it was just running right in the middle of their houses. Don't tell me you don't have it good in the United States of America. You do. We're spoiled. We are spoiled beyond spoiled. And I heard somebody yesterday say, why can't we receive anything from God? Because we've received everything so easily in this world that we live in. That we've had such a cushiony life that we just think we can go out and get everything for ourselves because that's what we've done. But let me tell you what I've done. It's not, I don't want to do it by myself. I want Christ. I need Christ. And so he will lay on your heart to go talk to somebody about him. And we run away because we're scared of the rejection that this person might give me if I go up and say something to him. Listen, we're put on this earth for a reason. Amen? Our purpose and our plan is to first worship him and love him and to follow after him. And our next one is to go get everybody else and bring them into the kingdom and tell them about Jesus so they can live an eternity in heaven and not go to hell. And I'm so sick of people saying, quit talking about hell, it scares people. It should scare you. I'm not trying to scare you into heaven, but you should have a reality that there is a heaven, there is a God, there is a hell, there is a devil named Satan that was once in heaven called Lucifer, that he was the praise and worshiper for God's, I want to say, what do you call that? Told you I can't think of names today. Choir. Thank you. He was the head praise and worshiper. He got himself to a point where he wanted to think himself above God and be more important than God. And he got cast down with a third of the angels. And he's now mad because you can sin. You don't get cast down. You know what God does? He forgives you. Who is man that thou art mindful of him, O God? They don't understand it. They don't understand it. Angels are a created being, just like humans are a created being. We're the sons made in him, his image, though. And he created us for fellowship. He created us to worship him. And you can sin, and you can sing the song of the redeemed. The angels can't do that. Down. There's no chance for Satan to ever come back into God's kingdom again. And he doesn't want you to go there either. So there is a hell. And this is what we're put here for. Why would you ever see a person? Listen, I had to hear this and swallow this and think this and repent for this and all this before I ever come over here. Amen? But why would you ever look at a person in the face who God's telling you to talk to and you walk away? Because it's not comfortable for you. Birds have a place to live. The fowl of the air have a place to live. But you, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't care. He went. It wasn't comfortable for him. He went. But we can't go talk to somebody about Jesus because we're fearful that we might get rejected. That is the only reason. If anybody else has a reason why you won't do it, please tell me. It's fear. It's fear. Our fear of being uncomfortable and being rejected, which brings uncomfortability to us and makes us feel bad, right? Could possibly be keeping somebody out of the kingdom. Could possibly keep somebody from being healed of drugs, healed of such atrocities that have happened in their childhood that we couldn't even begin to imagine. Could be healed, set free, and delivered. And we don't want to be uncomfortable. It's time to get uncomfortable, church. It's time to be uncomfortable. Okay, let's read the rest of that. And Jesus said unto him, okay, that's got that one. What's the next verse? Oh, 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Seems kind of harsh, don't it? But Lord, one of my loved ones passed away. I got to go bury them. Let the dead bury the dead. Now, we're not following physically after the Lord because he lives in us. We're now his hands and feet. We are him in motion to people. Amen? We're the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. And so what that scripture tells me is that quit going back to dead places after God has delivered you from them. Quit going into the places that kept you away from Jesus in the first place. I'm talking about if you were one that went with your buddies to the bar and just drank yourself silly, why would you continue that process after you were saved? What did it do for you before? What peace did it give you? Oh, I was happy during that time. Okay, what happened when you went home to your wife? Was it peaceful then? Was it good then? Amen. Say it. If we did it, we're free. We're set free. Amen. We're healed. The blood's washed as white as snow. But we have to give people a realness as to what this looks like. I'm not trying to go deep with you. I'm trying to be real with you about what the word says. If God has delivered you from pornography, why would you ever pull up and look at a picture of a naked woman or a naked man ever again? And it's not just men that can get addicted to pornography. There are women that can too. Why would you ever put your eyes on something that could cause you to go back to the dead place he brought you out of? Why would you walk down a street that you bought drugs from? Why? There's nothing in that street for you but dead things. Why would you continue to hang around people that constantly belittle you and tell you that, oh, come on, that Jesus stuff isn't really good. He's not even real. Why would you even do that when their lives is full of addiction and destruction? They go home to their family, and their family barely knows who they are because they're not there. Amen? Why are you doing dead things? Why are we listening? This is one that some people can do and some people cannot do, and I am one that cannot do it. I cannot listen to secular music. I grew up until I was 23, got saved when I was 23. And every time an old song comes on, it brings a memory back of what was going on during that time. And it wasn't always good memories. And so I have to watch what I put into this heart, what I put into this mind, what I put into these eyes. Why would I go back to dead things? Why would I sit there and allow the enemy to bring thoughts and memories of things of yesterday that God has set me free from? Doesn't the word say, be careful? Once you get cleaned up, healed up, and it's clean, your house is clean, meaning your body, your spirit, all of the things, the devils have been cast out. He has set you free from addiction. He has pulled out. He has pulled out all of the anger and the bitterness and the hurt and the anger that you once felt over situations. You know, you were just a nasty person. I was just a nasty person. Not all of you. I'm saying some of you. Like, I'm just going through different scenarios. So don't say I'm saying you're a nasty person because I love y'all. None of you are nasty in here. I'm saying the things we did were not right. The things that had been done to us were not right. Why would we go back into a place that allowed those thoughts to overtake our lives again and create bondage again? Let the dead bury the dead. Let those things in your life that God has healed and God has separated and God has brought you out of, you, some of you are even thinking things in your mind right now that you better let it go. You better let these dead things go. God is taking you and your family to places that these dead things cannot go. And if you still hold on to them, you can't go. Why would you ever take a chance of your name starting to have words by it in the book of life? Because remember, every idle thing that we do is written down. It's recorded. What takes away the sins of man? The blood of Jesus wipes it white as snow. When he opens that book and he looks at my name, I don't want him to see any word but redeemed, saved, set free. I don't want any other of my past of words that I've spoken against anybody, against people, against things, taking me back to dead places. I don't want it being read. Because then the words that will come next is, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. This is a serious thing. We look at heaven and we look at hell and we think, some people just think, oh, they just, you know, whatever. I hear people talk about them, whatever. And some people even have this, oh, you know, the guy upstairs, me and him have our own thing. First of all, quit calling him the old guy upstairs or the guy upstairs. He is not a guy. He is a God. He is the one true God. He is the I am that I am. He was before, he will be, now he will be forever. Yesterday the same, today and forever. Don't bring his image down. Don't bring the disrespect to my God that he's just some guy upstairs. You are diminishing who he is, and therefore the power and authority he can use in your life is not there. Because you won't even recognize in your own life who he is. I was reading, and you might want to write this down because it was good, in Isaiah 57. Sorry. Dust. It says that these people, and I'm summarizing it big time. Just read it. We're offering offerings of meat, offerings of, you know, liquid sacrifices, but they were still worshiping other gods. They thought they could be righteous in front of people. Have this worshiping of other gods. Go to God and offer a sacrifice to him. And that would be their righteousness. It's not the way this works. It's not the way this works. Now, I love you, and I don't mean to be hell, 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 hell. That's not the way this works. It says when they did this, God could not hear them. They were so far from God that he couldn't hear them. You know, God only hears the voices of his children. And you say, everybody in this earth is God's children. Nope, not truth. Everybody on this earth was created by God. They are his creation. But to be his child, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to receive Jesus. It says there's one door. There's one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. There's no other. There's no other way. One way. Jesus. We got to quit playing games. Because there's a day coming where he's coming back. He's going to sound a trumpet. And I come on first flight. First flight out, I want to be on it. Because there ain't going to be a second one, first of all. I want to go when he comes. And I don't want to stay here and deal with what's going to happen when we leave this earth. Listen, do not go back to dead things. Let the dead things go. And if you know that you have some things in your life that's not pleasing to God, it's not time to beat yourself up over it. It's not time to allow condemnation to come in. That's not what this is about. This is about the grace and the mercy of God saying, let's just clean it up. Let's just repent and let's get this thing right. Amen? Look in the mirror and really ask me, Lord, what next? What next? We're going into a new season. A season, whoo, I can't wait till the first, I can't believe it's next weekend. I keep saying I can't wait till the first service. It's next weekend. But wait a minute. If we are going into a new season as a church, a page is turning for every single one of us. Amen? I want obedience to be my song. I want righteousness to be my song. I want truth to be my song. I don't want to be deceived by anything that covers up what's wrong here. Amen? I want it to be revealed. I want to repent, and I want to move on with Jesus. I want to go where he's going. I want to be the hands and feet to his people. I want to be able to love. The one thing that I am not, and I apologize to everybody, I'm not a nurturer. I nurtured Philip when he was my baby, but he was a baby. He needed it. That was different. But by nature, he needs it today. He just won't let me do it today. I guess when you get to be 28, you think you're all grown and you don't need none of that stuff no more. Listen, when he needs food, we get him. For that one day out of 2-3 months, we get him that one day. No, I'm just kidding. He knows I like to mess with him. What was I saying? I messed with him so much I lost my voice. Sorry, babe. Help me. That's what I get. That's what I get for messing with him. Amen. I'm sure I was talking about the love for babies and being nurturer. I'm not a nurturer. That's where I was at. I'm not a nurturer. Like, I love people, and I pray for people, and I want to see people do good and all of that stuff, but I'm not going to be the one that comes up to you every day and hugs you and like mommy's you. I don't mean to say that, but in the spirit, I do. But in the natural, I'm really bad at that. And I'm asking the Lord to show me. I don't even know how to do it. Like you, I see people just do it naturally. And I don't even think to do that. And so I ask the Lord, show me how to do this. Change my mindset. Because I'm tired of using the excuse, that's just not who I am. Amen. You know who I am? I am a daughter of the Most High God, and I am who he says I am. Amen. I am not who this world made me to be, but I am who he made me to be. And what I mean by that, I'm not anger, I'm not bitterness, I'm not hateful. I'm not a nurturer. I'm a nurturer because he nurtures me. Amen? So those things that I have a fight with, that's not who I am. I am who God says I am, and he's going to change this body. He's going to change his mind. He's going to change his heart, and I am going to do what he tells me to do. Amen? I'm getting sick of hearing that's not who I am, and I'm getting sick of saying it. We are who he says that we are. And I pray, my prayer is, God, give me the mind to think like you. Give me the eyes to see like you. Give me the ears to hear like you. And give me the heart to love like you. Because if I do all those things, every action I take towards any of you will be all love. Even if it's correction. Understand that. Jesus corrected people. He called his disciples, you generation of vipers. Like, he's like, don't think that he didn't come bring it out his own disciples. He did. You people of unbelief, you doubt and unbelief, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Like, he's really telling them, stop this. When they thought they couldn't cast this out, stop this. I've given you power. I've given you authority. Go fast and get it done. What do you have in your life that's dead things? Go fast and get it done. Quit sitting and allowing it to take over. We have to come to a judgment seat. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. Isn't that the words we're waiting for? Dead things need to be dead and left. And we need to move on. I'm going to go over another story. Whew, I don't know. How do I talk more than Phil? It seems like he's been getting out of service a lot. And I don't preach all the time. You'd think I'd get done faster. Okay, I'm going to try to hurry. We're going to need to go to Acts 16:16. I have 5 pages of scripture, and I've used like 3 of them. So y'all want to sit here until we go through all of them? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We're about on our last one right here. It's just it's a little long, but we'll survive. Amen? And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and show unto us the way of salvation. That should let you right now know the devil knows who Jesus is. The spirit of divination is a spirit of witchcraft. It's a spirit that's not supposed to be in you. People should not be able to tell you your future, only Jesus. Amen. You don't mess with that kind of stuff. Do not get involved with psychics. Amen. Don't. It's a spirit of divination. Don't do it. Don't put that in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you want to know what your future holds, then you better be getting before the Lord and reading his word and seeking him and asking him what your future holds. Don't open your life to no devil. Amen? That's just a side note. I don't charge you for that one. This day she did it many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains, this was their cash cow, she was making them money. And when the master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beat. Let's just think about that for a minute. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. We think we've got it so bad. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all, right? Isn't that our promise? We get a stubbed toe and we start complaining. And we weren't even doing the Lord's work when we stubbed our toe. Amen? How many times have you gone off the deep end? You weren't doing the Lord's work. Somebody treated you bad. You weren't doing the Lord's work. You were just walking. And what's been your response? Not good, right? Guilty. Listen, I'm not. When one finger's pointed that way, I got all them pointed towards me. Amen? So, yes, yeah, Steve, see, it is. Amen. So, here they are doing the Lord's work. They're out on the street. This girl has a devil. They're delivering this girl from a devil. They weren't doing anything wrong, teaching them about Jesus, delivering this girl from a devil. And because they cast the devil out of a girl, they get beat and thrown in jail. Think you have it bad? We're spoiled in America. Thank you, Lord, but we're spoiled in America. And it's come to the Christian's detriment. We're too comfortable. We're too comfortable just going about our daily lives focused on this right here. And we need to start getting uncomfortable. But what would your response be? Just think about this. You're on the street corner up here. And you're telling people about Jesus. You got people going by, and this girl comes to you all crazy, and you jump on them. You cast the devil out. You're excited because God just got the devil out. This woman is now set free, and they come and arrest you, beat you, and throw you in prison. Just think about it. Don't say it out loud. I already said mine the first service. I would be complaining and whining and hurting and wondering what happened. Why am I here? I was doing this for you, Lord. Right? Imagine your responses. Well, let's see what Paul and Silas did. How about that? Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So they're in prison and they've got chains on them. Amen? And at midnight, here we go. Paul and Silas complained and yelled and screamed and was yelling at the jailers. Is that what it says? No. They prayed and they praised unto God. And this midnight, so it isn't, Lord, we just thank you that you are just helping us and getting us through this. No, the prisoners heard them. So that means that they were pretty loud with their praise. Lord, we just thank you that you have delivered us. We thank you that you've set this girl free. We thank you that we are given an opportunity to be even counted worthy to be beat for your sake and for your name. I can't imagine what they were saying. I want to hear the song they sang so bad. When I get to heaven, I think that the Lord will let them sing it to me. I want to hear the song they sang. They're in prison, beat down for serving the Lord and following after the Lord. And they're not mad. They're not angry. They're not disappointed at the Lord because it didn't go the way they thought it should go. They're counting themselves worthy for being able to suffer it for the cross, suffer it for Jesus. Lord, let us be that way. And suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. What would you do? Don't read further. Don't read further. Don't read yet. What would you do? Run! What would we do? God set us free. Yes. That's not what they did. I believe the Lord told them, stay put. Stay put. Because didn't Paul run out of prison once and go to the door and they didn't believe that he was there, but they were praying for his release? So it's not that none of God's disciples never ran out. These ones didn't. And so that leads me to believe, now this isn't in the word, but that the Lord spoke to them and said, stay. Don't go nowhere. What do you mean, God? You broke it open for us. You don't want us to run? Whew. And suddenly, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Ah, this is why they stayed. This is why they didn't run out and go get their wounds looked at and healed up and washed off so they could stop hurting. You know, when you got an open wound and you've been beat and dirt gets into it, that it hurts worse. And when it gets cleaned out, it feels better. They didn't do any of that. This is why they stayed. There was somebody in there that needed Jesus. Didn't think of themselves. They thought of him. But Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do not harm thyself, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? If that were our heart's cry every time we did something and left our comfortability and didn't make it about us, didn't make anything about us, just made it about God's kingdom. What must I do to be saved? And if you go read on, and I'm going to let you read on, because it's great. It's great. Read it on. He and his household got saved. So him and his children and generations after him. I'm standing here because Shelley dared to ask some girl, even though she was as mean as a snake, mean, I was mean, dared to face rejection and say, hey, will you come to church with me on Sunday? My legacy changed. His legacy changed. His children's legacy changed. In that one moment, we got a whole family whose legacy changed. In that one moment, because somebody was willing to not be comfortable for Jesus and to do whatever it took. Amen? Amen. Father, I just pray today that, Lord God, you would show us where we've been afraid to be uncomfortable, where we've been afraid to do those things you're calling us to do, that you would lift the blinders off of our eyes. Because sometimes, Father, we don't see it ourselves, but we need you to lift the blinders, allow us to see it. Let us be in a place of repentance and growth. Let us get beyond it. And let us be as those were, as Paul and Silas was, your hands and feet that are willing to be uncomfortable, to be in places and be things going on for your glory, for your kingdom, for your people, so that people hear about your son. Let us not be about us, but let us be about your kingdom. Give us eyes to see the way you see. Give us ears to hear the way you hear. Give us a heart to love the way you do. Give us a mouth to speak the things that you speak. Lord, we want to do and be about your work. And I thank you that there's hearts in here that are exactly that. Hearts that want to be about your work. Change what we need to change. Show us what we need to move forward in. And Father, then just help us to do your works, your ways. Father, I thank you for it. Now I'm going to just ask right now, if you're watching live stream, if you're in this building, we talked about it a little bit, but there's a scripture that I learned when I was a little girl, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His name is Jesus, and he went to that cross for you so that you could have be reconciled back to his Father and your sins would be washed white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, they never two shall meet. As far as the east is from the west, your sins are forgiven because of Jesus. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, we're all going to say a prayer in a minute. And if there's anybody in here, eyes closed, head bowed. One thing that made me mad when I was younger is when they did this to me, somebody was looking around and saw. And you know what? I want us to be people of integrity, head down. If there's any, now I'm going to be looking because I got to look. But if there's anybody in here that wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, just put your hand up real quick. I'll see it. Amen. Amen. Now, we're all going to say a prayer together. You can listen. We're all going to say it for the sake of one, so one person doesn't feel like they're left out on their own. Amen. That we're a body of Christ that's here together. If you're joining us live, say the prayer with us and then reach out to us and let us know that you accepted Jesus. We want to get some stuff in your hand, let you know next steps, what you need to do, because it doesn't just stop with salvation. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of the goodness of God. So everybody repeat after me. Father God, right now I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that he died at the cross, on the third day rose again, and I need him, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. And I make a decision that today I will live for you as he died for me. Thank you for saving me. My confession is I am saved. I'm going to tell people I am saved. So Lord, do what you do. And show in my life that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to tell you, if you said that for the first time, there's a party going on in heaven right now. Amen. Angels are throwing a party because one more is into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, this isn't something they take lightly, and neither should you. So we're going to go. I'm going to call it a day. Amen. And then, two prayer requests. Oh, thanks. I forgot. Woo. See, this is Phil's job. Amen. Okay. Oh, and I want to pray for Jeannie, too. So I'm glad we did this. Thank you. We want to pray for Kyle Lawlin and his family. His grandfather passed away this past Friday. So, Father, we just ask you to be with that family, to comfort them. You said you'll send the comforter. Father God, they have great memories with their grandfather. Thank you that he was in their life for so long. Lord God, that he lived a great life. Father, we just ask you to be with that family, to comfort them, and to let them know that you're with them. And Lord God, I thank you that you will give them every good memory of their grandfather to celebrate a life with. Amen. Father, we thank you that you'll remind them of the goodness of this grandfather. And they will just remember him as he was. And Lord, we thank you that you will heal them quickly of this loss, because we get a chance to see people again. Lord, we thank you for it. We need to pray for Kim Thomas's godson, Justin. Did she say what was going on? Okay, well, Father, you know what's going on with Justin. We just lift him up before you. Lord, we thank you that your protection is over him. That, Lord, your word says even if he dashes his foot against a stone, you'd bear him up. Lord God, we thank you if there's any pain in his body, you will call it to go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we believe your word that you said, speak the word only and you will do it. Lord, we thank you that you go to him, you touch him, and you meet every single need that he has. And Lord, we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to pray over Jeannie. She had a forklift hit her and she's got some pain in her body. So Father God, we speak right now to the pain in Jeannie's body and we tell it to go. Any damage that forklift may have caused in her, I call it to be healed right now in Jesus' name. Now Father, we thank you again that we speak the word only because we believe and we have faith and know that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, that Jeannie is healed and the pain is gone in Jesus' name. Now Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. We will see you all. If you come in Thursday night, we'll see you Thursday night. If not, anybody give me the address? State Route 292, 10 o'clock Sunday morning.